Hey, it's your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. The Curvy Film Critic. Welcome back to Black Hollywood Live, episode 59. And I have a question for you. Did the hustle you out of your money? Sharonda Williams is with me, and she's going to tell you that in just a few minutes. Stay right there.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey. It is a solo journey for me in the studio today, but I have a special guest Skyped in, my girl, Miss Sharonda Pay or Wait Williams, honey. Hey, girl.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Everybody doing fine. How you doing this Mother's Day?
I am doing just fabulous, you know, just trying to get my life together before I head to my Game of Thrones funeral this evening.
All right. You a GOT fan. All right. I got you. Well, let me tell the people about Miss Sharonda. Now, I met Sharonda at a plethora of different film festivals, but she has a site. It's called Pay or Wait. I love that title by the name. She's the creator, the host, and producer of that show, which is on the YouTube channel. She's also a featured reviewer on Rotten Tomatoes and an approved critic there. And she's also a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association and the Atlanta Film Critics Circle. That is my girl, Sharonda Williams. And she has a great, great YouTube channel. You guys really don't want to miss it. She is everything. Her opinion is everything. And I stole her intro to The Hustle because I love that so much. I was like, I watched her channel and she was like, did The Hustle me out of my money? I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes. I'm like, I kind of love you for that. So I just wanted to, I love that so much. I had to steal it. So sorry. And I probably should have warned you ahead of time.
It is okay.
But we have so many shows and things and movies to get down. This Mother's Day weekend, they hit us both barrels blazing with films. So the first one I want to get on top of is The Hustle. Since I talked about it and gave you such a stellar introduction with that. And I know that you saw that film. And I just want to give people a heads up about The Hustle. The Hustle was directed by Chris Addison. It's produced by MGM Studios. And it stars Rebel Wilson and Oscar winner Anne Hathaway. And a lot of people are telling me, Sharonda, that it feels like a reboot or a female version of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which was a Broadway musical and a film starring Michael Caine and Steve Martin. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes, yeah, so it definitely is. And I think Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was actually another remake of a film that starred Marlon Brando.
You're absolutely right. So tell me how, I didn't see The Hustle, but I know you did. So tell me what you thought about it.
Okay, so unfortunately, The Hustle did hustle me out of all my money, my time, my entire life. those of you who do not know, this film centers around Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson's characters, Josephine and Penny. So they are two con artists. One is kind of like the creme de la creme con artist, and the other one is kind of, I guess you would call, a low-level con artist. And so they both meet, unfortunately, because they are both in each other's territory, as they're trying to con some rich men. And so the two women briefly team up together, but then decide that there is too many con artists in town, and they both make a bet on how they can hustle a man out of his money. And from then on, the film really centers around these two women using their charm, their wit against one another as they try to win this bet. So for me, I was not a fan of this movie, mainly because it's thrown off as a comedy, but I had very few to little laughs throughout the course of the film. Yes, and I think that's mainly, too, it doesn't mean that Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson, that they don't play against each other very well, but because we don't see these two women team up for a majority of the film, they're really going against one another. It's kind of just, with Rebel Wilson's character, they're kind of using the same old, tired body jokes, how a plus-size woman could not be as appealing as Anne Hathaway's character, is closer to the society standards of beauty. And really, it just turned me off. Rebel Wilson turned me off with all of these body jokes, these ugly jokes. I couldn't take it. I got hustled.
You know, a lot of people here in Los Angeles are echoing what you're saying. But I got to tell you, when I watched that commercial, the way they cut the commercial made me want to go see it. Because there's that one scene in the commercial where she's bent over and she has on a black dress, and it and her behind looks like a big bag of trash. And then somebody's looking for her, and then they walk past it, and then she stands up. She says, "Oh, the trashy dress works every time," and I hollered because that actually made me laugh out loud. But just from the commercials that I saw, there's this one bit in the commercial where she's trying to open the champagne bottle, and she's having the hardest time opening, and she's doing a lot of pratfalls and all that kind of thing. And then she eventually sets the bottle down and the cork pops her in the face. And a lot of her pratfalls and her jokes and stuff are really cheap jokes, and they're really funny to me. But I could see why other people would grow weary and be tired of seeing that over and over and over again. And we're in an era right now where people don't want women of her caliber of comedy to keep making jokes at the expense of their size and their looks. So I get you on that one. Speaking of somebody who has made a career out of, you know, pratfalls and jokes due to their size, Melissa McCarthy was in the news this week. Before we go to the next film, she was in the news this week because she's taken over for Steve Harvey, that show that he was hosting, Little Big Shots. They got rid of him, and they're bringing her in as the new host. And Steve Harvey's having a rough week. They canceled his talk show this week. They've replaced him on Little Big Shots. Are they going to replace him on Family Feud, too? His empire seems to be crumbling just a little bit.
No, he's definitely having a bad week. I would hate to see him be replaced for Family Feud, because I think he's really made that show his own. But I do think that it's time to kind of introduce some new talent and some new hosts with new points of views, with new ideas. But let's hope that he can bounce back from this.
I hope he can bounce back from it, too. He's really funny. I'm just going to do a little side note. When I was in the Lion King here in L.A., I was doing a benefit to raise money for AIDS and for another charity organization in L.A., and I was trying to promote the show to get people to come out and see it, you know, because it was called Duets, and I did some not me personally, but I asked some friends of mine to do spoken word duets, song duets, dance duets, like all different types of duets, and not just, you know, two people getting up singing a variety of different songs. And I was trying to get people out to see it. And another friend of mine, I was expressing this to her, and she says, "Oh, well, I know Steve Harvey. You know, do you want me to give him a call and see if he can have you on his show to promote it?" I'm like, "You can have him on your show you can call him if you want to, but he don't know me. He's not going to have me on my show." And to my surprise and amazement, he had me on his radio talk show to promote my benefit. He was very gracious about it. So I will be forever grateful to him for giving somebody like me an opportunity to promote something good that I was doing, because I was trying to raise money for some very worthy causes, and he didn't know me from a can of paint and decided to give me that opportunity to promote the event. So I appreciate him for that, and I hope that this storm too passes and he's able to weather it just like he has everything else. Moving on to the next title, Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Now I'm just going to qualify this and say, I had no interest in seeing Pokemon Detective Pikachu, and I'm not familiar with that Nintendo game. I could care less about that Nintendo game. The little Pikachu thing, it looks so cute that that's the only thing that would make me want to go see it. But that movie is an extension of the video games and Nintendo games that all little kids like to play. And not for nothing, but the first thing I thought of when they started saying that this was going to be a film was that stupid video game where people were running into cars, running into people, running into poles. I'm like, what is happening right now? So I was like, I don't know if I want to be contributing to another thing where somebody's going to see something in a Pokemon movie and be out here in real life trying to emulate it. But I know you saw that film too, so tell me all about it.
Look, let me tell you guys, first and foremost, Pokemon is life. That was my childhood, okay? I woke up in the morning to watch Pokemon before I went to school. I had the trading cards, the video games. I had everything, okay? Pokemon was really life for me, so just let you guys know where I'm coming from. This was everything. This was my childhood. I was ready. Pikachu was my favorite.
So how was the film?
So I really enjoyed this film. So for those of you who are Pokemon fans, this is based off of the 2018 Pokemon Detective Pikachu game that came out. And so it stars Ryan Reynolds, who actually voices Pikachu, and Justice Smith, who plays Tim Goodman. And so Tim's character is really just trying to figure out what has happened to his dad, and he's taken on this crazy journey in Rhyme City. And I actually enjoy Pokemon Detective Pikachu. I had a great time with this. I thought that they did a very great job with the effects of the film, of bringing kind of Pokemon and Rhyme City to life for us to actually see on screen. I think when we talk about a live action of kind of these fictional characters and what their world looks like, it was kind of hard for me to conceive how they were actually going to convey this on screen. But I think they did a fantastic job, especially with the mannerisms of Pikachu, because Pokemon do not talk. So I thought that it would be just really weird to see this Pikachu going around talking in Ryan Reynolds' voice. Uh-huh. I had a really great time with it, and I really loved kind of the connection that Pikachu and Justice Smith's character has on screen. And I also want to give huge kudos to Justice Smith, who's really acting against himself, the different levels of emotion that he does have to go through, because he's kind of dealing with this estranged relationship that he had with his father, and also to interacting with these different Pokemon. I thought that he did a very fantastic job. I love watching his career blossom from going into the Get Down from Jurassic World and seeing him now in Pokemon. I thought he did a very, very fantastic job, and I really enjoyed this movie, and I can't wait to see how they kind of evolve this Pokemon universe.
Well, all right then. A big old thumbs up from Sharonda for Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Baby, that is like a mouthful to say for a movie title. I'm just saying. Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Whew, I got it out that time. That is a lot going on. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Really glad you enjoyed it. Something else that's coming up, well, that's not coming up, but that was released this weekend, which will reinvigorate a lot of people's childhoods, is this film called Tolkien. I want to say Tolkien. Pokemon Detective Pikachu was produced by Warner Brothers, but this film is produced by Fox Searchlight Pictures, and it's directed by Dom Karakowski, and it stars Lily Collins, who a lot of people may or may not know as Phil Collins, the Grammy Award-winning recording artist. That's his daughter, and Nicholas Holt. And it centers around this man's life, and this is the author, J.R. Tolkien, is the person who wrote The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. So I read The Hobbit when I was in school, and I was all excited to see, you know, how this person's life evolved into writing these two iconic literary pieces. You know, what kind of person ends up having that kind of imagination to pull off those types of stories? And come to find out, like most children, his imagination was fostered by his mom. But as a young student, the film features him as a young student and how he finds love and friendship and has an artistic inspiration among these group of fellow outcasts. And they have like this brotherhood. They're really tight. They go to this little tea room every day, and they kind of bounce ideas off of each other, and it follows their whole world and their friendship and his courtship with Edith Bratt, played by Lily Collins, and right about the outbreak of World War I. So the film I enjoyed the film. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I enjoyed it mostly because I enjoyed the performance of Nicholas Holt and Lily Collins. They were absolutely fabulous. And Nicholas Holt, not for nothing, but when a camera hits his face, it's just movie star. He reminds me of a young Benedict Cumberbatch is what he looks like on screen. He's very, very handsome, and he comes from an acting dynasty family over in Britain. But it was nice to see him be able to hold his own and not rely on, because there are a lot of people that come from acting dynasties, and not all of them are talented. Let's just put that out there. Not all of them can hold their own. Not all of them can hold their own in a major feature film. But he did his thing in this movie, and it was beautifully shot. I read one review where they called it a tale of tweed and trees. And as much as I hate to say it, that's kind of sort of what it was. There was a lot of tweed wearing going on. There was a lot of photography revolving around trees during different seasons and stuff. But again, if you want to find out how J.R. ended up, and his name is John Ronald, I think it is, how he ended up coming up with these stories and just looking at the evolution of how that evolved, you're really going to love this film. If not, you're not going to like it. But I loved it. And again, it was released this weekend and it's produced by Fox Searchlight Pictures. The next one that I saw, and I'm like, did you see Palms, Sharonda?
Yes.
So we'll talk about Palms. So Palms is produced by STX Entertainment and it's directed by Zara Hayes. It stars Diane Keaton, Jackie Weaver, Pam Grier, Rhea Perlman, Phyllis Somerville, and a host of other, I want to say middle-aged men and women, because they're not old. I don't think of them as old. But it was hilarious. I kind of love this movie. It was light and fluffy. It didn't take itself too seriously. I did a guest stint on Fox 11 LA over the weekend where I talked about Palms, and I put a clip up on the internet of me saying that I love Diane Keaton so much that I would watch her play a paper bag. I just love her. I love her. It wouldn't matter to me what Diane Keaton was in, but I think this is based on a true story of some elderly people in a retirement home that, you know, they got tired of the same doldrum activities that were being offered to them by this retirement home. And this one chick was like, you know, let's start a cheerleading squad. And she did. But in this movie, Diane Keaton, who plays Martha, she basically finds out that she is at the end of her life and she wants to go out on her own terms. So she starts this cheerleading squad. And then after she's gone, the cheerleading squad still kind of lives on. But I liked it, and I love Jackie Weaver because she was hilarious. She played this, like, you know, loosey-goosey senior citizen that was all about, you know, drinking and card games and men. And, you know, she was like that little fast girl that people hang out with when they in high school, the one that everybody thinks is, you know, giving up everything all the time to everybody. But she's a senior citizen that's giving off that vibe, which made it really funny. Also, I wanted to discuss with you, after you give your opinion of it, there was a interview that was done with Angelica Houston, and I mentioned this last week, but now it's even more prolific because Angelica Houston did an interview for John Wick 3, and somebody, I think, asked her about Palms or mentioned it to her or something, and she made some snide remark to the effect of, she's like, you know, I don't want to be reliving my youth. The past is the past. And I thought, wow, you're bitter. And then Jackie Weaver came back at her when somebody asked her about Angelica Houston's comments. And Jackie Weaver was like, didn't she grow up in a castle? Does she even know what cheerleading is? I was like, oh, okay. Well, but I'm bummed. You came for her. That was kind of cool. But I just wanted to know your thoughts about the whole cheerleading movie and the premise and Angelica and Jackie's comments.
Yeah, so I had a chance to see Palms on Thursday, and I thought it was a really cute and fun movie. One of the things that I really enjoyed about Palms is kind of how, you know, they look at this group of women who society would say they're elderly, they're nearing the end of their lives. And, you know, one of the things I was talking to one of my friends about this film, and it's the saying they say, when you stop living, you start dying. Mm-hmm. So I really love how they try to show that life isn't over. Life is what you make of it. And then also, too, showing these different aspects of what women who are kind of getting older in age, what they go through, whether that's kind of like the relationships between their spouses or relationships between their kids who now have become their caretakers when they were once their children's caretaker. And then also, too, people who might be dealing with illnesses or really just trying to live like free spirited when society is really trying to tell you, you should not be living like that. Like, that is not what a woman of your age does. And so I love how they kind of explore all of these different aspects of life that people go through from a woman's perspective, and how, you know, it's never too late to have fun and keep reliving, like, being young. And so for Angelica's comments, you know, to each his own, if that's how she feels, but I just feel as though no matter how old you are, you should never stop living. Do you, have fun, live your best life till the end.
Absolutely. Don't you love that scene? There was a scene where they were trying to decide what kind of activities they could and or what kind of movement they could and could not do in the development of their routine. And everybody started going down the list of all the different medications they were taking. Right. Like one person couldn't do it because of her blood pressure medication. Somebody else had a rotator cuff injury. Like, it was comical. Oh, okay. I was like, did you hear me?
I think that also speaks to how people try to tell you, oh, well, you might have this illness or you might be doing that, so you shouldn't be doing it. But it's up to how your spirit feels, you know. So I thought it was really cool that they did show that and show how they showed up and showed out no matter what was happening.
I love you say how they showed up and showed out. That is pure comedy. All right. And in the spirit of Mother's Day, we have another girl chick flick. Wine Country, which is streaming on Netflix, is produced, starring, written by Amy Poehler, and it features a lot of the ladies from Saturday Night Live. Amy herself, Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph, Rachel Dratch, Anna Gasteyer, Paula Pels, and Emily Spivey, who actually co-wrote the script as well. And what happens is they end up wanting to celebrate one of their friends is turning 50 years old. And so they all decide that they're going to pitch in and take her on a trip to Napa Valley. Now, the reason why this actually caught my eye is because when I had a milestone birthday a few years back, I did exactly the same thing. We didn't go to Napa Valley, but we went up to Santa Barbara and did the whole Sideways tour, right? Which was pure comedy because my friends are crazy. And we went up there and one of them was acting like she was a teenager trying to do stuff that she did. Like she was hopping out of the van, trying to do things on the DL. Like, you know, like she was trying to hide it from her mother or something. It was so funny. It made me laugh out loud. They and my friends didn't know a lot. 3/4 of them didn't know how to do wine tasting. So they didn't understand that you take a sip at a time. The first two wineries that we went to, when the taste pour was poured in the glass for them, they knocked that back like they were doing a shot. It was so funny. They were drunk as Cuda Brown before we even got to the third winery. I said, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? We got the whole rest of the day and we haven't even gotten to dinner yet. It was pure comedy. But I laughed because when I saw Wine Country on the screen, I thought, okay, Amy Poehler stole my story and put white people in it. I was like, what is going on? Does she know that I took my girlfriends up to Wine Country, you know, LA Wine Country? I don't know. But again, this was another light and fluffy chick flick. This is one of those movies where you grab a glass of wine, get your best girlfriends over, y'all get some jammies and some blankets and sit up on the couch and tee-hee and drink, you know, get a couple of cocktails and some snacks and just have a nice little chilled out girls' night. It doesn't take itself too seriously. There's lots of moments that are really funny. There's this one moment where they end up rolling down this hill and it's hysterical. There's another moment where one of the characters is a lesbian and she's trying to hit on this other girl and she even goes through the painstaking process of buying like a $600 painting just to get next to this girl, which it doesn't sound like it's funny, but the way that they draw it out in the film is actually kind of comical. But I liked it. It was something that didn't take itself too seriously, and it's just a lot of fun. And it's a Netflix flick, so you don't have to go to a movie theater to see it. Anybody could stream it at home. People don't even have to go to each other's house. Like, you could, you know, everybody could stream it at the same time and just, you know, FaceTime each other and watch it at the same time. Like, there's lots of different ways to watch this film because it is on Netflix. But I really, really had a good time. Have you had a milestone birthday that you wanted to do something really special for?
For me, no. I'm always that weird person. When it comes down to birthday time, I like to disappear and go to somebody else's country and have a ball by myself. I'm not a huge, like, let's all get together and take a trip. I like to explore things by myself. If I want to stay in bed all day, I can do that. If I want to just relax by the pool, get a massage, that is going to be my life, and I don't want to hear anyone's mouth about it.
So, oh, well, alrighty then.
That is not me, but I did enjoy watching Wine Country because I got my entire life because all of my faves from SNL. They were back for this movie, and I had a great time watching it. I did have a couple of issues.
Okay.
From a script standpoint, just because it felt rushed towards the end, and there wasn't a lot of character development. But I think that overall, just because of the great chemistry that these women have behind the screen, which helped on screen, and also too, just everyone's just amazing in the film. And Maya Rudolph is my absolute favorite. That scene between her and Rachel Dratch, she has a bonnet on, and Rachel's like, "Did you take a shower?" And I'm like, "Ma'am, we sleep in bonnets. That's what we do, okay?"
I know. They were hilarious. And again, they had a scene in this movie where they were talking about all the different stuff that they were taking. Because I think at one point they were contemplating taking some Molly or something.
Yeah.
And they were drinking this wine. So they were all trying to figure out, you know, what this Molly is going to do to them and if it's going to interact with their everyday medications or if it's going to interact with them. It was just funny. That was funny to me.
But let me tell you, I am your friend, okay? I didn't know that there's proper etiquette to this wine tasting. You got to smell the glass.
Yes.
No, I'm just here to drink some wine and get tipsy. That's what we're here for.
Girl, when I tell you my friends, I had one friend that she was so drunk that the bus driver was like, "Okay, so if y'all throw up on the bus, you need to just know that you have to pay for that too." I'm like, "Yep. I'm gonna need you to keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the steering wheel, and you don't worry about what we doing back here. Your job is to drive. We grown women, some of them got families and kids and husbands. Do you just drive and let us do what we doing back here on the back of the vehicle?" I was like, he was out of pocket. I wanted to punch him in his throat.
That just reminded me, I lied to you. I did used to do something like for my birthdays when I was younger, when my liver was like, could handle alcohol.
You did not say when my liver could handle alcohol.
Now it's not doing anything for me, okay? I used to do party buses. So my birthday's around Halloween. I'm a huge Halloween person. I like to dress up. Let's do a whole thing. That is me on Halloween.
Okay.
So I used to do a big party bus. I would do a party bus and everyone would get dressed up. You were not allowed on my party bus unless you took a shot of Everclear and if you had on a costume. And we would just go peruse all around town, go to all these places. Half my friends would not even be allowed because their costumes were too scandalous. But yeah, like that was definitely us. The whole throwing up on the party bus that triggered me because someone almost did. So yeah, we had some good times.
Yeah, we weren't trying to do all that. Well, again, Wine Country is streaming on Netflix right now, and it began streaming, I believe, on Friday, May 10th, which most of these titles were released either on May 10th or May 3rd. Next up, I want to talk about a film that I know you didn't see. It's called All Is True, and it's directed, produced, and starring Kenneth Branagh, Judi Dench, and Ian McKellen. And it basically deals with Shakespeare after he's had this tragic loss of his son. It's the year 1613, and he is trying to figure out how he's going to handle this disaster because it was his only son. He had two daughters and a son, and he's desperately struggling with this death, and he's haunted by it. He's seeing his son everywhere and all of this. And in addition to that, he's faced with having to come to grips with these relationships that he now has to deal with. Cause I think he used his son as the buffer between his wife and his daughters. His wife is illiterate. She's some years considerably older than him. He felt like his son was the only one that had his gift of writing. Come to find out, one of the daughters was the one that was actually doing the writing, but she couldn't write right. So she would have her brother do it for her, and they made her father think that he was the one doing it, but it was really the daughter. So it was a lot of issues coming up. William Shakespeare had a crush on one of his idols, one of his mentors, and only only to find out that he was being, rejected in his own home. So he reveals that he's in love with this man. And I'm like, oh, Shakespeare had a lot going on. He in love with men. He got an older woman as a wife. He got all these kids. He's not talking to anybody. He's not writing anymore. The Old Globe Theater, which was the theater where they would put on all his plays, Romeo, Juliet, Hamlet, and all those, that's burned down. So he was at a crisis in his life. But this is what I will say about All Is True. All Is True is there are moments of that movie where it's kind of slow, but I love watching Kenneth Branagh play William Shakespeare. And this is not the first time he's tackled Shakespeare. He's done Winter's Tale. He's done Romeo and Juliet. Like, he's one of those Brits that really goes in when it comes to Shakespearean pieces. But this is the first time he's actually played William Shakespeare himself. And he wrote, produced, and starred in this film. It's a really good film. It's comical. I'm a big fan of period pieces, so I was all over it when they said this was coming out. I'm really excited about it. And it's out there, too. And I think that came out last week. But then, do you have any streaming picks that you saw? Is there anything streaming on like Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, other than Wine Country that you want to talk about?
Not really. I will say for those of you, if I know that the season's already aired in its entirety, but if anyone has not watched The Act on Hulu yet, it is absolutely crazy. The performances from Patricia Arquette and Joey King, it's absolutely amazing. It's based on a true story. And I don't want to give anything away because I feel like you need to have the shock value that I had when mm-hmm. I watched the first episode. Mm-hmm. But if you definitely go to Hulu and watch The Act, man, that's some good television right there.
Okay. Are there any movies that you would recommend streaming?
Wine Country is what we all just watched. No, I mean, I would say I don't know. I don't think I have any more movies. I've mainly been consuming a lot of TV shows on streaming platforms right now.
Okay. Well, I have something that I want to tell people to stream. It's a documentary called Ask Dr. Ruth. It's streaming on Hulu right now. And a lot of us know Dr. Ruth from the 80s, where she had a radio show, she had a talk show. She was basically known as the goddess of good sex. You know, she was that woman that would say words like vagina, penis, masturbation, and folk would have a nervous breakdown. The censors would try to censor her. She would make talk show hosts like Conan O'Brien and Arsenio Hall and even Downtown Julie Brown when she was on MTV blush with what she had to say about that thing. And she made it known that up until the 80s, people didn't really talk about sex on television or anywhere in America, for that matter. We were very prudish when it came to talking about sex, any kind of sex, anything that had anything to do with sex. And Dr. Ruth was the one that came out and said, listen, people think that women don't like to have sex, but not only do we like to have sex, we like to have sex this way. And she just broke it down. And she's this little teeny tiny of a thing. Ruth Westheimer is her full name. She's from Germany. But what we don't know about her is we're used to seeing Dr. Ruth very exuberant, very lively. She's got all this personality. She's just like a little teeny tiny bundle of joy. But what we don't know about her is revealed in this documentary, Ask Dr. Ruth. We find out that as a child, her father was snatched out of their childhood home by the Nazis, and they were put into concentration camps, and both her mother and her father were exterminated by the Germans. So her mother sent her away to Switzerland, and once she went to Switzerland, she never saw her parents again. And to see her walk around being as joyful and as full of life as she is, knowing that she has this tragic background, was really a surprise for me personally. And it delves into her whole life from her childhood. And whenever they show her childhood, it's done through a animated illustration. And when they're talking to her as an adult, it's literally her. But she seeks out her childhood friends. Like, some of her childhood friends live in the New York City area. She's lived in the same New York City apartment for 52 years, which I think that is hilarious. She has been in the same apartment for 52 years. She considers herself a non-radical activist. She doesn't She doesn't believe in, you know, burning a bra or going out there with a sign, marching and all that. But she does believe in values like the whole Planned Parenthood fight and the abortion fight and all these other fights that we as women are fighting right now, and with health care and all those types of things. So I would suggest, if you are a fan of Dr. Ruth or you didn't know anything about Dr. Ruth like I did, go ahead and pop on over to Hulu and stream that. It's a really wonderful documentary. I enjoyed it immensely, and I found out some things I didn't know, and I got mad love and respect for Dr. Ruth, because to come through what she came through with flying colors and to still find a way to enjoy life, that says something about her character and her strength as a person. So there's that. Also streaming is Lego 2, the second part by Warner Brothers. You saw that, didn't you, Sharonda?
You know what? Actually, I don't think I saw it.
I saw it. It was funny. Those Lego movies are always a little weird to me, but it was funny. It was really cute. It's streaming and it's on DVD and Blu-ray right now. I think it was released on May 7th. So that's out this week as well. And it basically, it's like the Legos do this time travel thing to try to rectify some stuff, basically is the premise of the story without going into a whole lot of detail about it. But it's cute. It's fun. It's fluffy. Me and my mom went. We had a great time. If you're with your mom today and you just want to look at something light and fluffy, watch Ask Dr. Ruth and then pop on over and stream a little Lego 2 action. Y'all might have a good time. But what do you have coming up next on the horizon, Sharonda? What are you doing next in addition to your pay or wait site?
What am I doing next? I'm trying to get my life together. What Sharonda is trying to do every day is get her life together any way, shape, or form she possibly can. I am off to see John Wick 3, John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that comes out next week, too.
Yes, and I'm going to see Rocketman. They're doing an early advanced screening through Fandango. Really just gearing up to do some more movies and TV show reviews and counting down the days for Claws and Handmaid's Tale.
Well, we got a little bit of time left. Tell the people how you came up with the title Pay or Wait.
Okay, so I was having this conversation with one of my friends, and I was like, I want to make something simple. Like, my audience has always been attended for people who paid to go watch movies, just like I do. And so people just really want to know, do I spend my coins on it, or do I go fire stick it? So at first, the idea was really going to be pay or stream, but I did not want the feds coming after me.
Right.
decided to just say, hey, should you pay for it or should you just wait for something better? So that's really what it boiled down to. And I would love to see this kind of to even expand outside of just movies, but also too, I mean, you can use this for anything, like for products that we use, for kind of experiences that we go on. Like, is it worth paying? Is it like, should we just wait and do something else? So that's really where it came from. I just wanted to simplify it and just help people save some coins.
I know that's right. And in this economy, we got to save as much money as we can, because right? Everything else is taking our money every place else. So
I make out all my money, okay?
I know that's right. Well, girl, that is our time. We went flying through this show today. I'm so glad that you joined me and came.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. So tell the people where they can find you on social media and your site URL.
You can find me at Pay or Wait on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me at payorwait.com and also too on YouTube at YouTube/payorwait.
Yay! And I am Carla Renata. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can also find me right after this over at AfterBuzz TV, hosting or co-hosting the General Hospital After Show with Frank Moran. You can also find my reviews and Sharonda's reviews at Rotten Tomatoes or on my site, thecurvyfilmcritic.com. And look out for me every once in a while, streaming wise, if you're not in Los Angeles, at Fox 11 LA, doing a little movie review action over there every once in a while. But until then, next week, we're going to talk about The Sun is Also a Star, The Souvenir, Trial by Fire, and John Wick 3. Until then, thank you, Ms. Sharonda.
Thank you, Carla.
All right. See y'all next week for episode 60 of The Curvy Film Critic right here at Black Hollywood Live. Love, peace, and hair grease. Deuces.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.